The poem Passion Sunday is a confusing day in some ways, and for quite a while I had, oh, I don't know if I'd call it a conflicted relationship with the day, if that allows me to have a relationship with a day, I suppose. But I remember for a long time I found it sort of aggravating that we had come to the point where we had so lost the sense of Easter that Good Friday services really didn't happen, and so we had to put them together. So on the Sunday before Easter Sunday, we have both Palm Sunday and Good Friday, really, and we just renamed it. And I'll be quite honest, I found that irritating that we needed to do this. I looked at it as some peculiar sop to popular culture and looked down my nose on people who did it. And then I started thinking about it and thought, well, maybe we came at it for reasons that we wouldn't have chosen, namely that the church's influence and the church calendar had become less and less important to people. But we've got a really, really good thing here now, in that on this Sunday, unlike any other Sunday, we are forced to confront these two things in a way that we just don't any other time. And we don't because we don't want to. I have, in my entire life, which isn't all that terribly long, but I've known a lot of people through the things I've done, I have never met anyone who likes confusion. Never. I know lots of people who like causing confusion, but that's a different thing altogether. I don't know anybody who likes confusion, who likes being mixed up, who likes things that don't resolve themselves. And this Sunday doesn't resolve itself at all. And it doesn't because of where the creators of the lectionary have pushed us. We have readings from Psalm 118, from Matthew 21, and then we have the more traditional Good Friday readings of Psalm 31, the Isaiah passage, Matthew, in this case, in this year, in liturgical year A, the Matthew story of the crucifixion. We have that Philippians part thrown in there as well. And if you read these passages of Scripture from top to bottom, which is what I do to prepare, and which I'm sure many of you have done, if not this year, at least in other years, you're left very unsettled because they don't come together. You're supposed to be unsettled. Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday, routinely referred to as Holy Week, is an unsettling time if you pay any attention at all. And if we're not careful, We'll look at this kind of unsettling as, well, it's just something we do for a few days once a year, and then we get on with our lives. And, of course, in one way we do. But in another, doesn't this sum up the life that we know? Doesn't it push us to pay a little more attention to the reality that all of us go through, if not on a daily basis, at least on a regular basis? Where by turns we will step out into a beautiful spring day to go to a funeral. Or we will get bad news in the mail of any kind, followed by an email about a dear friend who's had a wonderful thing happen. Or new pictures of friends we haven't seen for a long time enjoying themselves and radiating good health and wholeness. I can't imagine for a moment that I'm the only person these juxtapositions happen to on a regular basis, where good and bad seem mixed together in a way that we just can't grapple with, we just can't come to grips with. And that's because we're paying attention. The people who can come to grips with these things are ignoring one or the other. Because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that was created in perfection, was intended to be perfect for all time, and yet through the mystery of God's provision of choice, turned into something else, turned into what we have today, where every day has the potential to be a mixed bag of good and bad. And so what do we do about it? Well, we can, as some people do, pretend one or the other doesn't exist. Not forever. I've never met anybody who just sort of lives in one or the other all the time. But we focus on the one and we ignore the other for a period of time. And that's, I think that's pretty normal. I think that's, and I think in some ways that's pretty healthy. As long as when we're focusing on that, when we're in that moment of delight or that moment of sorrow, whichever it might be, we don't think that this is all that life is, because life is both. Even the most wealthy and powerful people of all time have had moments where things didn't work out the way they wanted to. And even the least wealthy and the least powerful have had moments of transcendent joy. That's what it means to be human. And so we come together on this confusing combination of Palm and Passion Sunday, and we ask the question, which is it? Which is it that we're supposed to celebrate today? And the answer is, so frequently is yes. An answer that doesn't provide any real answers. It just says we understand these questions that we have, and we affirm these questions that we have as questions of value because they prove that we are paying attention. That we're aware that the Psalms go from glory to despair. That we know that when we read through the book of Matthew, we have moments where people recognize Jesus for who he is. And other moments where they completely ignore it. As I was looking at the two P's of Palm and Passion, and there's lots of ways to look at it. And what I came up with, and I think I've come up with this in other years, or at least it struck me in particular, that the palms are the truth of our salvation. Christ is Lord. Jesus came that we might be saved in a way that was new. He came to bring salvation, a gift from God, an explicit relationship with God through him in a new way that had never been there before. And it's true. That is part of what it is. The truth of our salvation is represented in the song, in the palms, or that portion of this Sunday. And the passion, if we will, is the truth of our life. I read an interesting book by Mark Buchanan a while ago, and he said something along the lines, I don't have the quote at my mental fingertip, but he said, if you're one of those people who in the midst of anything, whether it's in the midst of a terrible thing, you have this really strange and vague and sometimes very small sense of hope. And in the same way, in the midst of wonderful events, you have this little niggling reminder that it's not always good, that it comes to an end. So there's nothing wrong with you. It means you're paying attention. Because the reality, the truth of our life is that it will end. For me, that's at a much, much higher relief than it is at some point. We can't live our lives as if we were just at a funeral all the time. I think that would be exhausting. But when we have been to funerals, it's important for us to pay attention to what's going on and to remember that this is part of what it means to be human, that our life here ends. And Jesus encapsulated that by being willing to die, even though he was God. Even though he was simultaneously God and human. He said, this is what it means to be human, to experience great joy, but also at the end of things, we have death. But the thing is, neither one of them, neither the palms nor the passion in this world, have the last word. They make a circle. And the circle, as we all know from math or whenever it was that we took such things, is an unending thing. It keeps going around and around. It doesn't have a beginning or an end, and that's what we're looking at here. There are times when we'll be more aware of one or the other. We'll be more aware of the truth of our salvation. We'll be more aware of the goodness that still exists in this fallen world. We rejoice in those moments, and we celebrate them. We experience them together at weddings and baptisms and parties and successful campaigns and sporting events. All of these things are delightful things that we do together, and we rejoice and we celebrate in them because that's what we do. And then there are other times when we don't do that. At funerals, in hospitals sometimes, when we read the newspapers or we reflect on the state of the world and what's going on in various parts of it. And that's real too. And they're mixed together. And so this Sunday reminds us again, in a way that maybe no other Sunday does, that these two things are important and real, and we can't have one and not have the other. In the space of a few days, Jesus went from being called king, being killed like a criminal. And if we left it here, if Palm and Passion Sunday was the end of our sort of our discussion on any such on all of these things, it would be even more frustrating. But what this Sunday does is it leaves us looking forward to next Sunday, Easter Sunday, the best day of the year. Because Easter Sunday reminds us that, yes, there is this circle, this mixture of what we would consider good and bad, calm and passion in this earth, but this isn't forever. We look forward to that time of resurrection when all of these things will become clear and all things will be made well. For Jesus, that was after the resurrection when he returned to heaven, sit at the right hand of God the Father. Whatever that means, those images that are helpful to us to see that the passion part was over. And we believe that for all of us, that the resurrection into life will be the same. That the mixture will be gone and it will just be the good. And we look forward to that in hope, and it gives us the energy and what it takes to keep moving forward. But if we don't spend some time now and then on the mixture, if we don't celebrate and pay attention to Palm Passion Sunday, the resurrection becomes less meaningful and really becomes unnecessary. So I've come full circle, if you will, and I now think that Palm Passion Sunday is extremely important, and I'm very grateful we have it. Because I don't have the attention span anymore, if I ever did, to hold Palm Sunday in my head when I'm at Good Friday. I'm all one or the other. And I think for me it's been useful to be forced to confront them both. That's what we're doing today. We're looking at palms, we're looking at passion, we're looking at salvation. We're looking at the life we live. We're looking at good and bad, joy and sorrow, because that's the lives we have. And Jesus, by going through that, affirms the life that we're living as lives of value. It was something that even he was willing to do. So as we move through this day and into Holy Week, whatever those celebrations might look like for you, if you attend a Good Friday service, if you go to a Maundy Thursday service. If those are just impossible for you to make happen, that's okay. Because we've had that opportunity to look at them both today as part of our preparation for Easter Sunday by taking a hard look at not just the bad but also the good. And realize that through these we have a reason to hope and a person in whom we might hope, and that person is Jesus. Amen.